Hello, everybody, and welcome to our service for Sunday, the 19th of July. It was fantastic to see some folks during the week from our church family as we transported books from the church to the church hall in preparation for our return to in-church worship on the 2nd of August. And I will be writing a little bit about that in the blog in the next couple of weeks. And we hope to make a little video next week just to guide people through what church is going to look like for the next little while as we come in and we go out and all the various procedures that we have to adhere to as we seek to comply with the guidance in returning to church for worship on the 2nd of August. But today in our service, we're going to be thinking a little bit about obedience to the Word of God, and we're going to be thinking about reverence for God. And it is that reverence and respect for His holiness and His greatness that we want to bring with us as we come to worship together today. As we all, wherever we're listening, bring our lives, our hopes and fears, our successes and our failures before Almighty God as we gather today. And so we're going to sing our first hymn, Be Still, for the Presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. Our Bible reading today is from the book of Haggai, chapter 1, verses 12 to 15. And our reading today is really about how the religious leaders and the people were transformed through hearing the Word of God and the response that they made to the Word of God once they heard and they understood afresh what he was asking of them. So reading from the book of Haggai, chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of King Darius. And may I speak today in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, welcome back to the third part of our six-week series on the book of Haggai. Haggai is that little book at the end of the Old Testament, situated between Zephaniah and Zechariah, towards the very end of the Old Testament. And as I said earlier, it was a wonderful experience, a lovely, lovely experience, just to see so many volunteers last Wednesday night as we transported the books from our church to the church hall. And in truth, it was the first time that many of us had seen each other in 4 months. And it was really brilliant to see so many there. And I want to thank everyone for helping us in this way. Today, in the section of Haggai that we're looking at, we're going to be thinking about obedience to the Word of God and reverence for him. And what we've been discovering as we work our way through this little book of Haggai is that while it is a small book, it's a book that is absolutely filled with challenge and with promise, as it reminds us of God's claim on our lives and our priorities. And if this is your first time joining us in these studies in the prophet Haggai, I'm going to just do a little recap for a few seconds, just to remind everybody that the background to this book is that the people of Israel have returned to Jerusalem. And they returned to Jerusalem from a time of exile in Babylon, and the Lord had given them this mission or this project to rebuild his temple in Jerusalem, which had been destroyed. And they are to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem as a sign of God's presence. They started really well on that task, but then they got distracted to the point that the work on the temple had stopped completely. And in truth, the Israelites had become more preoccupied with building up their own houses and establishing themselves than building the Lord's temple. And this is where the prophet Haggai had to step in to call all of them to reassess their priorities and the priorities in their lives that God had given them. And maybe as we think about this, we might even visualize the prophet Haggai walking the streets and the alleys of Jerusalem, urging the people to get back to doing God's work and to rebuilding the temple, this task that he had set before them. And the fundamental problem that we've seen in the first chapter of Haggai has not been disbelief in God or even idolatry, but the problem that we've seen is rather that God, who ought to have been at the center, had been pushed to the margins of their lives. I don't know if that rings any bells for you, but it certainly does for me. There are many times when I know that he should be occupying that central space, but I allow busyness and circumstances to become the excuse to push him right back to the back of the queue of things that I am giving my attention to. And maybe in lockdown and indeed in more normal times, many of us find that we're constantly juggling lots of balls in terms of our priorities and our commitments. And sadly, it is God and our spiritual life that constantly gets pushed to one side. And what happens in these few verses before us today is a transformation of both the leaders and the people. And it's a transformation that changes the situation profoundly. And what seems to make the difference is that the word of God has broken through the complacency. It has stirred and challenged hearts. And combined with that, the Spirit of God was powerfully at work. And if we were keen to sort of trace the speed of response from the dates that we've been given in the book, it's actually just 23 days after Haggai's first message that the people begin rebuilding the temple, after progress had stopped for somewhere between 12 and 14 years. Now, it's rare, in truth, that a prophet's message would produce such a quick response. How often have you heard something, maybe in a book or maybe at a church service, and you've thought to yourself, do you know, that's a really, really good point, or that would be such an important thing for me to do. And then you just walk out and you get immersed in whatever it is you do when you leave the church or when you finish the book, and you completely forget to act upon what you've heard. But these people that we read about today, they put their words into action. They heard a very distinct call to live differently, and they did something about it. And their obedience is in itself an amazing work of God, who had sent Haggai to them. The leaders and the people of that time recognized the words of Haggai as coming from God, and they responded in obedience. And as we read of this amazing response in these few verses from verse 12 to 15 of chapter 1, and we see their renewed focus on the task again of rebuilding the temple, we then see that Haggai's new message to the people is one of great encouragement and reassurance. God being with them in the task was bound up with rebuilding his house, the temple, not simply in terms of wood and stone, but also in terms of changed hearts which responded to God's word.
And there was also this beautiful and very moving sense of reassurance in these verses that the task would get done because they were not doing it in their own strength, but they were relying completely on the Lord. And yet, like any building project, it still looks daunting. Much work remains to be done to rebuild the temple. It's going to take a huge amount of effort and labor. It's going to involve sacrificial giving of time and resources. But now the centrality of the indwelling Lord has been established. It is time. It is definitely time to get the project begun. And the really key thing, or the important thing, was the change of heart, the change of heart that led to this renewed activity. Both the leaders and the people were genuinely moved by Haggai's words, both in the call to reassess their priorities, and now also by hearing that the Lord would be with them as they recommenced the project. You see, God's purpose is to be at the center of his people and to live with them. And that purpose will only in one sense be fully realized on the last day when the Lord returns. But the rebuilding of the temple at this point in their history, that was a vital witness to that reality. And something really powerful seems to happen in this situation where God gives the prophet Haggai a message urging people to reflect on their actions, to reevaluate their priorities, and to complete the work or the task that God has called them to complete. And as the Spirit of God opens their hearts to hear and respond to that call, the Lord reassures them of his presence with them and how he will be with them, and he will provide what is needed for this massive task. And the presence of God in that sense is inseparable from the hearing of the Word of God. And if we think about our own church building and about the project that we have been considering here recently to make our building more accessible to all, to provide a level walkway from the church to the church hall for those with mobility issues, to make our space more welcoming and accessible, and to have more comfortable facilities for those who need them, we too may well feel daunted by such a project at a time when not only are we living through a global pandemic, but our numbers are falling. And yet, if this church is to be more than a building, if it's to be actually a spiritual place, if it's to be a community of faith, if it's to be a place where people who are searching and hurting and broken can find the healing love and presence of God, all of this can only happen and be the product of hearts and lives that are themselves transformed by the Word of God. That's what happened to the Israelites. And my question to you and to me today is, can this be our experience too? Let us pray. As we give thanks today for the prophet Haggai and how he communicated and delivered the word of the Lord, Lord, we pray for all who seek to communicate and share the word of God today. We pray for all churches returning to in-church worship. We pray for online services. And we pray for the messages that are preached right across the world today to be clear, to be relevant, and to make a connection with people's hearts and lives. And where people need encouragement and hope, may those things be heard and taken on board. Where they need challenge or correction, may those things be heard and responded to. And so we pray today for all sorts of gatherings, in homes, in churches, on screens, in prisons, hospitals, and army bases, in buildings and in the open air. And Lord, we ask that all who seek you today will find you. And we pray that the doors of many hearts would be opened to invite you in. And we ask it through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We pray for the nations of the world, and we pray for a rebuilding of the world's economy after the events of the past few months. We pray especially today for leaders in industry, for entrepreneurs, and for all who are seeking to generate new businesses and employment. We pray that they would be given creativity and wisdom, and for many jobs to be created and secured. We pray that confidence would grow and infection rates be kept under control to stimulate spending and a resurgence of economic growth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick, for the poor, and for those in any kind of trouble. Lord, we pray especially today for all who live in nursing homes and for those caring for them. And we pray especially at a difficult time when visits have been restricted, and we pray for people's mental and physical health in these challenging times. We also pray for family members as they watch and wait and try to follow the best guidance and advice. We pray that they would be strengthened in their suffering and separation, and that they would know your peace and your presence in their situation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And now we just want to take a quiet moment to pray for all who are particularly on our hearts and in our minds as we listen to this service today. And Lord, we pray that you would pour your healing grace, love, and wisdom into all the situations that we lift before you in these next moments of quietness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who taught us all to pray, Our Father, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We bow our heads for God's blessing. May God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen. Thank you so much for joining with us in our service today. We are so glad that you made the time to be with us and to worship together today. Our closing hymn reminds us where true hope and peace are to be found as we sing together, In Christ Alone.